Stephen Main, shareholder activist. And congratulations, newly elected councillor. How are you going with your mortgage? Hello, Stephen.
Hi, Libby. How are you?
I'm okay. Have you done any renegotiating with any of your loans yet?
Oh, look, I have found the Commonwealth Bank to be very slow in passing on the benefits on my margin loan on my rapidly diminishing share portfolio.
A margin loan? Ow!
Yes, but there is a flip side to this. I mean, at Manningham Council, we have $40 million in cash. So we are grappling with the issue of dwindling returns on our money, and there's a lot of depositors out there who are saying, well, gee, should we really have $200 billion in Australia's superannuation fund sitting in cash when you're now only getting 4%, the lowest since Menzies' time?
So what would you be doing with it?
Well, I think the share market's looking pretty beaten up and reasonable value, but I was saying that when it was 1,000 points higher, so I have little credibility on that now.
But now that you're a councillor, of course, it must be finally a relief to actually be elected.
Oh, look, it's after 37 losses, it is exciting to be elected, and it's a fascinating process. We all gave our little speeches last night in the chamber, and we were all delighted with the quality of what we heard from everyone else, because it's a real lottery. I mean, you all get voted, you haven't met everyone, and suddenly you're asked to form a board to run the council. Mm-hmm. And compared to how company boards are put together, it's obviously a very unusual process. So 77 of Victoria's 78 councils are currently going through the process of many people who haven't met each other before getting together and deciding who'll be the mayor.
Mm.
So we're through that process at the moment, and it's an interesting process.
Because I note on the BHP AGM papers that they sent out that they said they did not endorse your nomination at all. They didn't even put your photo in.
Well, I have to defend BHP there and say I was too slack to even send them a photo.
Aha! So it was not a conspiracy.
It wasn't outrageous censorship. But look, I was delighted to get $11 billion worth of stock in favour, 12%, but, you know, there was still $79 billion worth voted against. So my total against vote, Libby, is now over $200 billion. Which is quite a big vote of no confidence, you'd have to say.
It's certainly a big vote of no confidence. So, Stephen, okay, we've had another cut in the interest rates. How do you see this? A boom for homeowners, obviously?
Well, it's a much-needed relief for $1 trillion of household debt across Australia, the second most indebted household sector in the world but in percentage terms after the Brits. So, by jingo, do we need rate cuts. And this is the fastest, most effective, most efficient way to give relief to Australians. A 1% cut will save us $10 billion a year on our home loans, and that's what we need to stimulate the economy. And they have to go lower again. I mean, we're still way above the global average, even at 4%. I mean, the Americans are at 1%, the Japanese are at 0.3%. The Reserve's not meeting again until February, so I think they probably thought we better get a big one in before the summer hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
And a much-needed cut, but the stock market still crashed by 145 points today, and obviously the whole world is gripped by the fact that stock markets have fallen 50%. There is a global recession happening, and a global shock to confidence, a psychological shock like we've never seen before, and you just got to keep cutting interest rates until this turns around.
It's really interesting. I'm getting some SMS messages here. We asked the question about people who'd actually fixed their rates, and you're saying they're facing bigger and bigger exit fees as rates tumble. And this has been confirmed by you, our listeners, as we speak right now. Hi, Libby. I fixed my mortgage at 9% on the advice of a CBA banker for a period of 3 years. At the time, I was told that if you need to switch to variable, you just have to pay a switching fee, nothing else. And when I checked recently, they told me otherwise, with thousands in other costs.
It is an amazing situation. 60,000 Australians who've locked in on fixed rates are now discovering that they took all the market risk, that the more interest rates fell, the more they would have to pay to buy out of their contract. So this was a risk-free contract for the bank on the way down. Obviously, if interest rates went up to 17%, then they'd all be saying, isn't that fantastic, and the bank would be suffering the loss. So basically, people were locking in, taking all the downside risk, and 60,000 Australians are now screaming blue murder because they're being told they've got to pay $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 to buy out these contracts. And every time the Reserve Bank cuts again, it gets even more expensive. So you've just got to sit and wear it.
Dave has sent in an SMS saying that the NAB wants $7,000 to get out of a $145,000 three-year loan with 2 years left.
That's exactly where it's at. I mean, a contract is a contract. I mean, we do suffer the world's most expensive banking system, and a lot of people say it's a cartel, and they know how to write a contract profitably, and the bank has taken no risk on the downside. And
so what do you do, Stephen? Do you understand Wayne Swan's initiative about giving some sort of leverage with the banks to get out with exit fees not so excruciatingly high?
Well, his whole push on the exit fees was just largely related initially around variable standard mortgage rates. So basically, where you want to change banks, the banks charge you $1,000 to change banks. But these ones are more tricky because they are specific contracts. And in the fine print of the contract, you cover the bank if you want to buy out your liability. So it's like any contract. I mean, it's very acute and, it's very painful, but a contract is a contract. And, the politicians probably can and should put some pressure on. But legally, if it's in the fine print, you're in a difficult situation. But obviously, if the marketing of the product has highlighted this point and said, yes, lock in, this is the way to go, then there might be a cause of action potentially.
Ray from Camberwell is on the line. Hello, Ray.
Oh, hi. Now, I'm from Hoppers Crossing. I just happen to be in Camberwell.
Right.
I shouldn't mention any brand names, but we've just approached our bank, borrowed $27,000, used it to pay off all our car loans and our excessive credit card bills, which were running at 13% and 19%. Put it all onto our mortgage, which is looking even better, after today, of course. After this latest cut, I figure we'll be saving probably $800 a month. We've got a couple of investment properties, the rates have gone down on that as well. But we've got rid of all our credit cards, and then we've reset the credit. We've closed several cards down and reset the credit limits on what's left to about a quarter of what it used to be.
You know, Ray, what you're saying actually reflects some of the SMS messages that I'm receiving right here as we go to air. Retirees have stopped spending, says one of our listeners. And Stephen, I guess you'd be thinking that the government want us to keep spending.
Well, they do want us to keep spending. They're giving us $10 billion on December 8th, largely, to keep spending. But there are always swings and roundabouts with these things. Retirees who rely on interest income and dividend income, which is also crashing, they're going to stop spending. But a lot of the retirees will get the $1,000 payout on December 8th. So it's shock therapy to try and get spending going, and 4% official interest rates is the best thing you can do to get debt-dependent consumers from spending. But people who are relying on the interest on cash deposits to spend, it's a different story. They've got less income and less to spend.
Corporate activist, shareholder extraordinaire, councillor with the... What's the council, Stephen?
Marvellous Manningham, Libby.
Manningham. Where's Manningham?
Templestowe. Templestowe has more private... More private tennis courts per house than any other suburb in the world. Donvale.
Yep.
Park Orchards. Wonderful part of the world.
Laburnum.
Not quite Laburnum, I don't
think. Just remembering the train line from Belgrave, Upway, Ferntree Gully. We're talking about business and stuff with Stephen right now. Executive payouts, Stephen. There's been movement on this topic.
Well, the annual meeting season finished on Friday. And we went out in a blaze of glory on shareholders flexing their muscles on executive pay when the Qantas remuneration report suffered a 41.5% protest vote, where the shareholders basically said, look, Jeff Dixon's done a reasonable job as the CEO for a long period of time, but really, $12 million a year, the highest paid airline CEO in the world, this is too much, we're going to vote against. And we've seen a lot of this over the season. We've seen the Transurban annual remuneration report get 58% voted against because the old CEO got a $16 million payout. Boral 58% against. Wesfarmers 50% against. Toll 43% against. So the shareholders really are, like never before, standing up and taking a strong position against excessive payouts to CEOs. So it's a good thing.
You've done that, Stephen. You've inspired them to stand up and say, no, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Well, in the old days, Libby, the big defence was, look, it's a lot of money, but look at the share price. We've tripled the company in 5 years. The share market almost tripled from 2001 to the peak on November 1 last year at 6,873. which is certainly a lot more than the current close on the All Ordinaries of 3,473. So with share prices having fallen in half, there's now no longer a defence of look what I've done. So you are going to see more protest votes, and we're even seeing, shock horror, a few directors get big protest votes against them. There was one Qantas director, Barbara Ward, who had a protest vote of more than 40% last Friday because she was an Allco Finance Group director, and they'd had all their troubles, so they voted against. And even the chairman of ABC Learning, a guy called David Ryan, he had a 34% against vote at Transurban and a 29% against vote at Lendlease. So, I mean, I personally think that as the chairman of ABC Learning and the chairman of the Audit Committee for the last 4 years, he probably should have been voted off entirely. But given this doesn't happen at corporate boards, no one's ever been voted off in the top 50 companies, just to get protest votes that are above the usual 1% is a sign of progress.
Stephen, you've inspired people to call in about the interest rate cut and how it affects them. Chris from Rosanna is on the line. Hello, Chris. No, Chris is not there. Dropped off. Well then, Stephen, we'll just go to this next topic, which I thought was interesting, about BHP, Billiton and Rio Tinto. Interesting effect they've had on each other in the last few days.
Well, they used to be similarly sized companies, the two big giants of the mining world, and BHP wanted to take over Rio Tinto and then worked out last week that this would have been a disaster because Rio Tinto has $65 billion of debt sitting on the balance sheet. And anything with too much debt, whether it's a government, whether it's a household, whether it's a company, is getting clobbered at the moment. So from the moment that BHP last week said, we've decided we no longer want to take over Rio Tinto, the market has changed, and the subtext was, we don't want to take on their stinking pile of $65 billion in debt. The relative value of the two companies since that announcement has changed by more than $40 billion. So BHP shares have soared, although they're down 10% today, but they've still soared since that announcement, while Rio Tinto shares have crashed, and today they fell another $3.70 to $39. So we now have a situation where BHP is more than three times more valuable than Rio Tinto. So the great Rio Tinto has suffered a massive problem because they borrowed US $38 billion last year to buy the Canadian company Alcan, when Alcan today would be probably worth $5 billion or $10 billion if you're lucky. So it'll go down as one of the great disasters, and BHP shareholders are saying, didn't we duck a bullet by not taking over Rio Tinto and walking away? And we've never seen sort of such a move in market values. There's a $40 billion differential in the relative prices in the space of a week just on the back of a takeover deal that was dropped.
Stephen Mayne, thank you so much for joining us on the radio this afternoon.
It's always a pleasure, Libby.
Manningham councillor, and indeed could also be appointed to the Centro Retail Board after 435 million votes in favour at last Thursday's AGM. Oh, Stephen will follow it with great interest. Oh, Stephen Mayne on your radio.